But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of the promise. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Who is your mother? It's a question we may have all heard when we were young. Perhaps we were in trouble with a teacher, or lost in the playground, or in the mall. Regardless of the circumstance, the person that asked this question of us knew that there was someone who was responsible for us and that should be watching over us. The mother gave us a sense of identity and belonging. In fact, women and mothers have a specific way in which they image God to the created order. Let us not forget that in the beginning we are told God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Therefore, the man by himself is not the whole image of God. Only when he is united to woman does humanity image God to creation. The best mothers are women that we instinctively trust and turn to for comfort, compassion, and sustenance. God himself is likened to a mother hen in the Gospel according to St. Matthew. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 12, God is likened to a mother eagle. Therefore, women and mothers have a distinct role in which they image God. Furthermore, the church is a family in which God is our Father, Christ is our brother, and the church is our mother. St. Paul tells us this when he writes, Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. The heavenly Jerusalem is the dwelling place of God. It is paradise, and it is where we will be healed of all our hurts. The church is the bride of God who adorns herself for her husband. The fathers of the church tell us that she is a virgin, but also a mother. A virgin because of her purity and faithfulness to God, and a mother since she gives birth to us all in the saving sacraments. It is fitting that we just celebrated the Feast of the Annunciation. That is because the Blessed Virgin Mary is the best type of what the Church is, being faithful and virginal, her obedience leads to the birth of Christ, and so she is a mother while retaining her virginity. St. Paul wants us to know that we are the children of this good mother, the Jerusalem, which is above and free. In his epistle to the Galatians, he has to fight against the heresy of the Judaizers. They believed that the ceremonial law with circumcision still had authority over the Christian people. However, St. Paul lets us know that we are free if we are children of the free woman. Mother Rebecca holds a special place in the hearts of devout Jews who see her as a matriarch and as an intercessor for their people. In this way, St. Paul sees the heavenly Jerusalem as the mother of Christians, a powerful matriarch. As St. Cyprian put it in the 3rd century, no one can have God for his father who does not have the church for his mother. If we are children of this good mother, then we are children of God. If we are children of God, then we are free, not household servants or landed serfs attached to our master's property. St. Paul warns his Galatian readers that if they put themselves back under the law, then they are the children of the slave woman and therefore are slaves, not children of God. This is important because Christ came to make us free, to make us sons and daughters of the Father. St. Paul in the Epistle to the Romans writes that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. In the Epistle to the Hebrews we read, For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church, while I sing praise unto thee. This strikes at the very heart of our salvation, which is union with God. Being in union with God, if we then subject ourselves to the law, we make ourselves slaves and not sons and daughters. Now, let's take this a step further. Not many of us are in danger of converting to Judaism and falling under ceremonial law, but we might be in danger of partaking of the world. Our good mother, the church, spreads the holy table, the altar for us. She feeds us the blood and flesh of the God-man. If we partake of this holy table, this altar, we cannot partake of the food of demons. Consider that in his epistle to the Corinthians, St. Paul writes, ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Now, in St. Paul's time, this meant that he was warning Christians against participating in pagan sacrifices. These sacrifices were in fact communion with devils who had deluded the Gentiles and become God to them. In our day and age, this means that we need to take care with what we do, that we have nothing in common with the devils. Abortion, pornography, materialism, bigotry. These are all ways that the world participates in the demonic in our day and age. We cannot eat from the Lord's table and then go live however we want. As we take in the body and blood of our Lord, let us be careful what we do with ourselves. Just as Christ's body and blood become a part of us, so we become the members of Christ. St. Paul explicitly warns us that, know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall become one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. St. Paul, in telling us that we are members of Christ, members of his body, is telling us that we are the holy people of God. God's faithful people are those that he has made a covenant with. The Christian people, the people of the new covenant, are faithful Israel. Let us look at the gospel reading for today. Jesus has a great multitude following. He knows that he will feed them, but he tests his disciples and asks them, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? This is Jesus Christ, who also says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. St. John clues us into this when he writes that Jesus himself knew what he would do in regards to feeding the 5,000. Our Lord then takes 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feeds the multitude. These numbers are not by accident. They do reflect the actual number of bread and fish. But they can also stand for the 5 books of the law and the 2 covenants, the old and the new. The faithful people of God are those whom he feeds with his word. Now, the 5,000 were literally fed by the word of God. They represent the faithful that have forsaken the world to follow Christ. They are not necessarily ethnic Jews, but they are members of Christ's body since they are fed by the word himself. Therefore, these people are the sons and daughters of the heavenly Jerusalem, the bride of God. Being fed by the word, they become children of the Father, sons and daughters of the Mother. We must eat from this table to be accounted children of God. We must have the church for our mother, for there is no other that can feed us from the Lord's table. Let us be careful in this season of Lent, that as we eat from this table and are fed by our mother, we do not depart from her and go have communion with devils. Let us preserve in us the fruits of the redemption won by Christ and given to us by Mother Church. Through prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, let us keep ourselves pure as the bride of God keeps herself pure for her spouse. In doing this, we will inherit the kingdom of God, which is the heavenly Jerusalem from above, the mother that makes us free. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.